Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back. Today's Daf Yomi is Shkolim Yitzayin. We begin at the Mishnah, the bottom of Tezayin with Beis. Three lines from the bottom says the Mishnah, Heichan, Hoyu Hishtachavoyoyis Ha'ilu. We discussed 13 places in the Beis HaMikdash where they would bow. Where were these 13 Hishtachavoyoyis? Says the Mishnah, they were actually opposite the gateways, these 13 Sha'arim that were used as entranceways into the Beis HaMikdash. Arba Betzafayin, four places where they would bow were Betzafayin on the north side, Va'arba Bedarim, four on the south, Shalosh B'Mizrach, three in the east, U'Beis B'Marav, two in the west. And what was the significance of these places? K'neged Shlesha Osar Sha'arim. These places were, they are the 13 gateways into the Beis HaMikdash. That's why we get 13 Hishtachavoyos corresponding to the 13 Sha'arim. So when you enter the Beis HaMikdash, anywhere through these 13 places, you bowed. But there are covered entering the Beis HaMikdash, you do Hishtachavoyos. Now the Mishnah will list out all 13 gateways and where they were. We're speaking about gateways to the actual building, the Beis HaMikdash itself, not the Harabayis. So we had the Harabayis, and then we had the Beis HaMikdash, which had the Ezras Noshim, Ezras Yisrael, Heichal, Kodesh HaKadoshim. And we're going to have 13 Sha'arim around Kodesh HaKadoshim, Heichal, and Ezras Yisrael. Says the Mishnah, let's start from the ones inside Dorim. Duroimim, Smuchim Lamar. So we have the Beis HaMikdash here. We have Marav. We have Mizrach. We have Dorim. We have Tzafon. We have four on the Dorim side. Let's start from Smuchim Lamar. Let's begin closest to Marav. Shara Elyon, the upper one, because we know the Harabayis slanted upward. And the uppermost Shar was called Shara Elyon. Then going down, we have Shar HaDelek, through which they will bring the firewood to the Beis HaMikdash. Shar HaBechoros, they would bring the Bechoros, because the Bechor was actually Nishchat on Tzad Dorim. And we have Shar HaMayim as the last one. V'lam Rekushmai Shar HaMayim. How did it get its name? Shabbat Machnis and Tzloiches. Shal Nisach HaMayim Bechag. Through this door, they would bring the container with the water to pour on the Mizbeach Bechag on Sukkot. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer has a different pshat. The reason why it was called Shar HaMayim was on account of the future. Lasad Lovay Boy HaMayim Mefachim. Through that Shar, the stream would flow, Vasidan Lyos Yoitzin, Bitachas Miftan Abayis. We're going to discuss this in the Gemara. There's going to be some miraculous stream of water coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, flowing out through that, underneath that Shar HaMayim. Says the Mishnah, L'mason Betzafon, corresponding to the four Sha'arim that were in Dorim, we have another four on the Tzafon side. Let's start from the top one, near Marav, Smuchim B'Marav, Shar Yechanya. The Gemara soon will tell us why it was called that. Shar HaKarban, through which they will bring the Karbanis, Kachi Kachim, which need to be tended to on the Tzafon of the Azara. We have Shar HaNoshim, through which the women would come to Smicha on their Karbanis. And it was Derech Tznius, they should have their own in and out. And then we have Shar HaShir, through which they would bring the instruments for the Levim. Says the Mishnah, V'lom Nikro Shmai Shar Yechanya, why was that gate called Shar Nechanya Sheba Yatsa Yechanya Begalusa? Because on the way out to Golus, he came in and he bowed to Hashem, Litol Rishus, to bid farewell to Hashem, to Beis HaMikdash, and he exited through that Shar. That's why it was called Shar Yechanya. Sheba Mizrach, on the east, we have three Shar. We have the main one, Shar Niknar, which is a famous Shar, of course, donated by Niknar, who got his doors from Mitzrayim, and then there was this storm at sea, and he was compelled to throw doors into the sea, into the ocean. He threw one in, the second one he held onto, and Hashem calmed the waters. Eventually, the one that he threw into the sea was discovered floating next to the ship all the way to Eretz Yisrael. So that was Shar Niknar, and Ushnei Pishibshin. There were two auxiliary doors, two service entranceways, on one on either side of that large shar, Echad Mimina, Echad Mismailoi, for a total of three on the Mizrach. And finally, Shnai B'Marav, we had two all the way at the west, which were not really commonly used doors. maybe the emergency exit. V'loy hayolan shem, and they didn't have any names. So for a total of 13 sharim, and that explains why there were 13 ishtachavoyos. One for each one of those entranceways. Mas nisen abba yoisa ben yoichranhi. We're following this shita, the Amar Yud Kineged Yud Gimel Sharim. He holds that the 13 ishtachavoyos corresponded to those 13 sharim because he holds there were 13 gateways. Baram ki rabbanon, but according to shita rabbanon, shiva sharim hoyi ba'azara. The only 7 ways to enter the azara, al dai to the rabbanon. Or the Atayo the Rabban, according to the Das Rabban, so where were these 13 places of bowing? And we know from a Kabbalah there were 13 places where they would bow, but there were no 13 Sharim. Says the Gemara, ki ahide tanin and taman, as we learned elsewhere, yud gimel pirtes hoyubay. See, surrounding the actual building there is a Midrash, there was something called a soireg, a short mechitza, which was meant to be the boundary beyond which a non-Jew cannot enter. In fact, they discovered recently in the diggings a plate which had the following writing engraved on it. It says, a goy cannot pass beyond this area. This was placed on the soirik and had that warning. A goy cannot pass past this area by penalty of misa. So they discovered it, I think it was written in Greek, to warn the individuals don't belong there. In any case, the Yevanim didn't like this concept of being locked out of the Beis HaMikdash. So we learned that they actually breached 13 breaches in this Soireg Mechitza. 13 had some symbolic meaning to it. So Yud Gimel Pirtzes Hayubay, there were 13 breaches in the Soireg. But eventually, they were all shored up by the Chashmonaim. Shepirtzem Malchi Yavan. Right, v'chazru v'gadrum b'nei chashmonoi. The chashmonoi came back and fixed up the pirtzes. V'gadru kenegdon, yud gimel shtachavoyos, and the chacham established 13 places of bowing to be moida, thank Hashem. And each place of shtachavoya was near one of those rebuilt breaches. So we will now go into the detailed description of that stream of water, which Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov alluded to in the Mishnah. So we're going to discuss some psukim in Yecheskel, where he describes how the Malach showed him this vision of this stream of holy water coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which cleansed the whole area and had some miraculous properties to it. Vayabayimahu, Yetzu, this is actually Zechariah, Yetzu Maim Chaim Mirushalayim, Tani, we learned in a Braisa, Mebeis Kodesh HaKadoshim, Ada Pareches, from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, that's where that was the source of this spring. So it flowed out Ada Pareches in that section until it got to the curtain in front of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It was very small in size. Kigarne Sili Vikili. It was like the antenna of these little creatures. Very, very thin and tiny. Min Pareches Ad Mizbeach Azov. At this next section of this stream, going from the Pareches till Mizbeach Azov, it actually got bigger. Kigarni Chagavim was now like the antenna of a grasshopper. Mizbech Azov ad Azoris, from the Mizbech until the Azoris, it got bigger. Kichut Shel Shesi, it was already thicker. It was like the size of Shesi is the vertical thread in the loom. Min Azoris ad Miftan Abayis, the section of this stream from the Azoris until the threshold of the Beis Hamikdash, it was actually thicker already. Kichut Shel Erev, it resembled in size the thickness of a horizontal thread in the loom, which is thicker than the chut shel shasi. Mikan ve'elach passed the threshold, became a piapach. It was very larger in size, like the mouth of a jug. And actually, that's what Rabbi Elazar Yaakov is referring to in the Mishnah. He says, why is it called Sharmayim? Because at that point, the stream will already be larger in size, boy amayim mefachim, like a pach, like the mouth of a container. Ksiv the pasuk in Yecheskel says, "V'hinei ma'im mefachim min ha'kotev hayamonis b'tzeisa ish kodim." So he's describing the vision of the stream leaving the Beis Hamikdash, and this man is walking along v'kav biyada, holding a measuring stick in his hand, v'yomad elef ba'ama, and he's measuring 1,000 ama along the stream, v'yavireni ba'mayim me'ofsoyim. So at that point, he describes the water as made of soim. It was deep, like ad karsula, until a person's calf. That's how deep it was. He continued further. Vayomad elof, he measured another 1,000 amah. Vayavireni, b'mayim, meberchayim. At that point, he brought me through the water, which is already called meberchayim. It was deeper, ad berchayim, until one's knees. Vayomad elof, he measured another 1,000 amah. Vayavireni, meimasnayim. He brought me through this water, which was already meimasnayim, much deeper, ad masnayim, until a person's hips. Mikan ve'eloch, past that, oh, it was too deep. Ayamet elof nachal, asha lo yuchal laver. He measured another 1,000 amah, and it was a nachal too deep. He could not pass through it. What does luchal laver mean? The water was so rushing and gushing, afilu li biron and gedoyle, even for a large ship, it was impassable. Eino yuchal laver boy, she wouldn't be able to navigate in these gushing waters. My taima, where do we find that laver, luchal laver is a reference to a large ship? The pasuk says, "V'tzi ader lo yavrenu." So we see "v'tzi ader," a large ship, is related to the word "lo yavrenu," and here as well, "lo yichal avar," even a large sized ship could not pass through. Mipnei ma, what was the problem? Why could it not navigate through that area? Ki go amayim mei sachu, because the water, it was so turbulent. It was called mei sachu. What does that mean? Meisachu means it couldn't be navigated, it couldn't swim through it, it couldn't be loshut. It was too stormy, miloshut, to swim through. Omrav chuna ba'asra, now a town, koru l'shayata, we call a swimmer shusachuna, one who knows how to swim. So we see sachu is related to swimming and navigating through water. Another raya, we have from the pasuk of Paris, yada v'kirba kashay fares ha'secha lish schois. So we see that the soicha, the swimmer, spreads his hands in order to swim. Soicha lischeis meisachu is describing swimming. Another pshat, ma'u lischeis, the water is too stormy and it's lischeis. What does that mean? Amar Rav Yosi be Rav Yibun, mayin demis malin ba'alma. Waters which are spoken about out in the world, everybody describes it, how miraculous, how stormy, and it had special qualities, as going to see soon in the Gemara. Ksiv ba'imahu, and that day, Yia Mokar Niftach will be a source of water open and flowing. Lebeis David Uluyoshvi Yushalayim. Lechata Salonita. The kasha is, it's not just for Beis David or Yushalayim, it's for everybody. Explains the Gemara, there's a hidden meaning here. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman Meshem Rabbi Yonasan. He explains as follows. The pasuk here is describing the various stages within the stream. So it came out, Mi Beis David Vadi Yoshvi Yushalayim. In that section, from David to Yushalayim, it was pure stream water. Kisherim lenido lechatos. It was fresh flowing well spring water, and it was kasher for tefillah venida, and also to be used for chatos, which usually means the paraduma water, which requires mayim chayim, fresh pure spring water. So at that point it was still pure. Mikan ve'eloch. Once you pass that section, the next section was already no longer pure spring water. Metaroivayis heim. It was mixed in with rainwater. Kisherim lenido. It was suitable for tvilas nida, who can use even that water. Upsulum mechatas, but not suitable for mechatas because it has some rainwater mixed in it. Amar Belezer, he has a different shot. Beis David, vad yoish v'yishalayim, on that first section, kshel v'nida l'chatas. It was pure spring water kasha for both purposes. Mekan ve'elach, or past that, mekataf risosein. It was already water running down mountains. It wasn't any more in its own place, it was just running and running, and therefore he says, it was possible for everything, because a mikvah needs to be in one place, it can't be running down a mountain, and therefore it's no longer useful for anything. Ksiv, the pasuk says, describing this water further, the malach tells me, this water can head out to the Galil, up to Galil, and what is that? Zayam shel Samchay. He's going to meet up with this body of water called Samchay. Some describe it as the Chula Lake in Israel today, up in the north. So it would meet up with that water. V'yardu el Arava, goes down to Arava. What's that? Zayam shel Tveria. That's the Yam Kinneres near Tiveria. Ubo Yama proceeds to Yama. What is that? Zayam HaMelech. It meets up with Yam HaMelech. And the Morrison will tell us it was passing through these bodies of water to clean them out, to make them sweet instead of salty. El hayama hamoitzim, went to the next body of water. What is that? Zayam hagodol, that's the large ocean. That's Atlantic, Pacific, the oceans which surround the world. V'lama nikra shmai maitzim. Why was it called maitzim? Keneged shtei pa'amim sheyatzim. You know that the world was flooded even before the marble. Two times prior to that, the Atlantic, the main ocean, spread out, extended, flooded over. And it's interesting that, according to some Svarim, the Mediterranean Sea, as we know it today, never existed until there was this flooding that occurred during the time of Enosh, when they began worshipping Avodah Zarah, during the Dar HaFlaga. That's when there was this flood, and the main oceans in the world, the what we call the Atlantic, the Pacific, the main bodies of water around the world, spilled over and eventually formed the Mediterranean Sea. So this stream of Maim Kedoshim will head out to the Yama Gadol. Why is it called Moitzim? Lamed Kishmai Moitzim, because that Yama Gadol spilled out on account of the fact that it extended itself and flooded twice in history. Echad b'day enosh ve'echad b'day raflog. Rabbi Lezer b'shem Rabbi Chinina, he explains as follows. B'rishayna, the first time during Dar Enosh, Yotza ad Calabria. It flooded until that point called Calabria. Carbon Ada says it's been Medina Sarfas in France. Ubashnia, the second time around during Dar Afloga, Yotza ad Kipe Barveria. It went until the place called Kipe Barveria, these cliffs of Barveria, perhaps Bavaria, or some say this is the northern tip of Africa. In any case, it extended eventually until Yerushalayim, until Eretz Yisrael, as we have it today. Rabbi Acha b'shem Chanina explains differently. Bereshoina yotzat kipei barveria. First time went until that point. Ubeshnia, the second time around during Dar HaFloga, yotzat akai v'ad yafoi, extend until akai and yafoi, like we have it today. In fact, the Pasuk says, ad poitove v'loi seisif. Go until this point and don't go any further. And we have a drasha that this is referring to akai and yafoi. Why? Because ad poi means here, koi also means here. So ad poi is like ad akoi, tova, ivaloi soisiv, don't go past. And then the pasuk, that same pasuk continues and says, upoi yashis begoing galecha, your stormy waves should head until here. Upoi yashis begoing galecha, that's ad yafoi, poi is ad yafoi. Oshis going galecha, will allow your stormy waves to reach. Okay, so we learned about the Mayim Kedoshim coming out of the Beis HaMikdash and cleansing the other bodies of water in Eretz Yisrael. We know that Eretz Yisrael is surrounded by Shiva Yamim. And four of these were just described here. The Yam Shel Samcha, Shel Tveria, Yam HaMelech, and Yam HaGadol, which of course is Mediterranean as we have it today. Says when we understand why Yam HaGadol and Yam HaMelech needed some help to desalinate them, to make them sweet. Nicha, we understand Yama Rabba, the Yama HaGadol, the Yama Demilcha, the Yama Melech, needed to be met up by this body of water to sweeten them. Bishvil de Mitkan, to sweeten the water. But Yama de Tveria, Yama de Samchoi, what's the point of going there? There are sweet bodies of water. L'rav is the Gosim to increase their fish supply and to make them many, many minim, many different varieties, different types, which somehow came about through meeting up with this special stream of water. Pasuk says they'll have different types of varieties of fish. Now we know in every body of water different types of fish. Apparently the chiddush here is there'll be a very large increase in the varieties and types of dogim in these bodies of waters as a result of this process. Tani, Amar Shim Gamlil. In fact, today we also have a similar phenomenon. Maas Shalachti Let Sidon. I once came to the visit city of Sidon. That's Sidon in Lebanon. Veviu Lefonai, and they presented me with Yosim Shalosh Meyos Mina Dagim B'Tamchi Echad. One tamchi, one dish. They presented me with more than 300 different types of fish, and Osed Lavai, those bodies of waters will have an abundance of varieties and types. The pasuk says, "V'nirpu hamayim b'tzeisa v'gavoisa v'loy yirapu lemelach nitanu." So the pasuk begins by saying, "V'nirpu hamayim," the water will become healed, remedied, sweetened, and then the next pasuk we have, a different pasuk we have, it's actually an Eiv, that there won't be any remedy taking place. V'loy. So the first pasuk is Nechezkel Mem Zayin Yud. The second pasuk Mem Zayin Yud. So it's actually the next pasuk. So we have a kasha. Siv in Yirav Pamayim, the water will be remedied and sweetened. And then you say, Vat Amr Siv Eloi Yirav Pamayim. It won't happen. Says the Gemara, Mokamu, Shmoy, Levelo Yirafu. It means like this. Generally speaking, the waters will be sweetened, but there will be a place called Levelo Yirafu. That place, Levelo Yirafu, will still have some salty water. It's good to have some salt in your water, so you can mine it, you can use it. Therefore, a little bit of salt is okay. The pasuk proceeds to describe the miraculous qualities and properties of this stream of water. While on Nachal, Yala, Al-Sfasim, Mizeh, on either side of this miraculous stream, will grow Kol Eitz Machal, all types of fruit trees, Lo Yiboy Leu, its leaves will not wither, V'leitam Piryai, and its fruit will not cease to be produced, L'chadoshav Yivakir, will produce monthly. What does that mean? Tani. Omar Abiyudah, L'fishvo Eilu Mazeh. Nowadays, how long does it take to grow a wheat? Tvu oisa l'shish chadashim, 6 months. Vilan oisa l'shnei masa chaydish. By a fruit tree, it's once a year. Ah, v'losed lovay. In days to come, tvu oisa l'chaydish echad. Instead of taking 6 months for wheat to grow, it will take 1 month. And we know that a fruit tree produces, nowadays, it takes twice as long as grain. Instead of 6 months, 12 months. So if l'asad lovay, tvu will take a month. Vilan oisa l'shnei chadashim. It will take only 2 months for fruit to be produced. My timer, l'chadasha yivaker, says l'chadasha. It will take 2 months for fruit trees to produce. Of Rabbi Yossi, he takes it down a step further. Nowadays, tvuah takes 6 months to grow. Vilan oisa l'beis chaydish. And fruit trees, takes them a month to grow their fruit. Ava l'asad lovay, ha'tvuah oisa l'tes vavyan. It will take merely 15 days for tvuah to grow. And a fruit tree is double that. Instead of 15 days, it will take him a month to produce his apple. In fact, even nowadays we find a phenomenon which is a forerunner to this. We find a precedent to this miraculous 15-day tvua growth. We find in time of Yoel, it took only how many days? 15 days. In fact, they used it for the Omer. My time, what do we find? It took 15 days. Ubnei Tzion gilu v'simcha b'Hashem lekechem. After that drought, be happy, kinos lachem, es ha'moira letztaka. Hashem gave you a rainstorm, letztaka v'ayir lachem geshem, moira u'malkish b'rishem. This took place on the first day of Nisan. And they used that tvua for the Omer, 15 days later. So it took 15 days for the tvua to grow, and that's a precedent for this concept of a miraculous 15-day tvua growth. And therefore, when it comes to fruit, he says a month at most is needed. What does Rabbi Yossi do with the pasuk, which says lachadosh v'yivaker, which indicates it's going to take 2 months for fruit to grow? B'chol chodesh v'chodesh yamavaker merely means that it's going to happen on a monthly basis. Lachadosh means every month we're going to have a new batch of apples. The pasuk says, "V'oleu l'trufa." The leaves growing on the side of this miraculous stream will provide a trufa. We have two pshatim, either sustenance or serve as a medicine to remedy an illness. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, he says, sustenance. Trufa, if a person wants to sustain himself from that leaf, matzitz ali, he sucks out the leaf. The Teref Mezoina provides his sustenance. Rav Shmuel, they learned a bit differently. It's going to provide medicine. Chad Amar Lahater Peh Shalamala. Trufa is like a trufa, like a medicine. It's going to alleviate, it's going to activate the Peh Shalamala person's mouth, meaning a mute person will start speaking by ingesting this ingredient. Lahater Peh Shalamala. V'chad Amar, one maintained, Lahater Peh Shalamaton, to activate the lower opening, meaning to allow an Isha who was barren to have fruit, to have offspring. Same machlokes we have between Rabbanin, Rav Chanina, and Beshuva Levi. Chad Amar once said, Lahate pe akoris, to enable the barren woman to have children. Chad Amar, Lahate pe ilmim, to activate the speaking abilities of mute people. Okay, so we finished discussing the water, which will stream out of the Samigdash, and provide refuah, sustenance, purity, la'asid lavi. Ulamasan but Safin Bihul. Let's go back to our Mishnah. We had the Sha'arim, and one of them was called Sha'ar Yechana. Why? Because through that gate, Yechanya went out to Galus. When did that happen? At Moitzeh, we find like this. B'shah Sha'olah, Nebuchadnezzar Kan. When Nebuchadnezzar ascended on you, on Eretz Yisrael, Ba v'yashav lo'y b'doif nishlan tuchu. He had a seat, he took a break on the way, and the outskirts of Antuchia. The Yotza Sanhedrin Gedolah crossed it, and the large Sanhedrin went out to greet him. They knew what he was coming for, and they told him, look, V'amraloi, and they told him, they asked him, a question mark, Higiyaz man habayis azel charev, tell us, is it what you had in mind? Is it time of destruction here? Amraloi, he told him, no, you know what, we'll make a deal. Oysoi shem lach te'alechem, that king, Yayachim, who I placed as a king for you, Tenuli, you know, I'm unsatisfied with him. Bring him over. Expel him from his position. Vani hoylech, and I'll leave you alone. Just let me have the king, and I leave the area. Bo v'amru lo yachin malch Yehuda. So I went back and they told him, look, Nebuchadnezzar b'aylech. You're being sought by Nebuchadnezzar. You've lost favor in his eyes. Okay. Kivin shishama kach. As soon as he heard that, he abdicated his position. Kivin shishama mehen kach. Notam avteichos. He took the keys of the Beis Hamidash. He climbed up to the roof of the Heichal. Omar lefanav ribayne shaloylam. Lishavar in the past, hayinu nemanim lach. We were loyal to you. You trusted us. V'hayu maftachay secha mesurin lanu. And your keys were entrusted with us. Achshav now, she'ein anu nemanim, now that we have lost your nemana, you lost your trust in us, you no longer want us to be here and serve you. At least he himself felt that way, that he was out of favor, so to speak, with Hashem. He did averis. Harim aftechay secha masurun lach. Look, your keys, I hand it back to you. Here, take them. Terein amaroim. There's a machlokes between two amaroim as to what exactly happened. Chad amar, one maintains, zorkan. He tossed them upward. Va'oid lo yardu, and they never came back down again. They were accepted by Hashem. Chad Omar, the other one described as follows. Yad, a form looking like a hand came down from Shemaim and received the keys from him. As soon as all the Chashiva people, the Sarim, the officers of Yehuda, saw what happened, that they lost favor with Hashem, they went up to the rooftops and they fell down, they died. How did they do this? Well, it's a good shaila. We do find sometimes there's a hetter for suicide in the time when a person knows he's going to be tortured, etc. So perhaps that was the circumstance here as well. Hadod echsiv, that's how the pasuk describes it. Masage chizayin, this vision, malocha efoy, ki alisa kulach legagois, you own up to your rooftops, chois malaya, irhaimiya, ki aliza, stormy city, v'chug v'goymer. This describes that sad point in history when it ended in such a tragic, had such a tragic end. Continues the Mishnah with the number 13. Yud Gimel Shulchanos Hayav Hamikdash, were actually 13 tables placed throughout the Beis Hamikdash. Ches Shal Shayish, there were 8 stone marble ones, Beis HaMitbachayim, near the Mizbeach, which was called Beis HaMitbachayim, where they would dissect the carbonates, rinse them. Shalein, on those stone tables, Madichin HaSakrovayim, they would rinse the innards of the carbonates. So that's 8. We have another 2, Beis B'marav HaKevesh, 2 situated on the west of the Kevesh. Echad Shal Shayish, 1 was stone, Echad Shal Kesef, 1 silver. Al Shal Shayish, on the stone one, Noisnes Eivorim, they would place the Eivorim on the way to Mizbeach. Mashal Kesef, on the silver one, Klei Sharis, they would place those 93 Klei Sharis, which they would use on a daily basis. Ubeis Ba'ulam Bifnim, an additional 2 tables, were on the Ulam, in the anteroom on the way into the Heichal. Al Pesach HaBayis, near the entrance of the Heichal. Echad Shal Shayish, 1 of stone, Vechad Shal Zov, 1 of gold. Al Shal Shayish, on the stone one, Nois L'Lechem Aponim, Bichni Sosei, they would place L'Lechem Aponim on the way into the Heichal. So it was baked on Erev Shabbos, and was only brought into the Heichal on Shabbos. So in the interim, they would place it on the Shulchan Shal Shayish, on the way in to the Heichal. Once they exchange lechem upon him, this will take place on Shabbos itself. They brought in the new one, take out the old one, and on the way out, they would place the lechem on the gold table. Why was one stone and one gold shemal and bekoidish v'loy meridin? Because in matters of kedusha, you meant to upgrade, go up from stone to gold v'loy meridin, rather than downgrade. Echad shel zav mifnim. Finally, there was that famous shulchan made of gold inside the heichal, she'olav lechem apanim tamid, which featured a constant supply of lechem apanim. Tani al shel kesef. We learned in a brisa that regarding that table on the way into the heichal, on which they would place lechem apanim between Friday and Shabbos, it was actually made of silver rather than stone. Rabbi Yosef b'shem b'shmol Rabbi Yitzchak, or some say it was Rabbi Chananya Matiba. He actually had a different version. It was b'shem Rabbi Yochanan. Less kanshal kesef. No, we disagree. It wasn't actually silver. It was actually stone. B'shem martiach, because silver, anything metallic, when you place warm, fresh bit on it, it's moist and it spoils. It get moldy very quickly. Therefore, they needed something cool. Stone was actually the one which was placed there. It was a stone table rather than a silver table. Says him, what are you worried about spoilage? The whole concept of lechapanim was a miraculous phenomenon. Like in Tana, you haven't learned in a brisa. Ze echad min ha-nisim shenasu beis ha-midosh. This is one of the 10 nisim that occurred on a daily basis in the beis ha-midosh. Shekeshem shehoyu manichin oisei choyim. Just as the bread was placed warmly, it was warm bread, fresh warm bread on Shabbos, kach hayu moitzin oisei chayim. Likewise, when they removed it, it was still fresh and warm. Shenemar losum lechem chayim yamilokha. Even on the day of removal, yamilokha, it was still fresh and warm. So what are we worried about? Spoilage can't be on silver. It might get moist, it might get moldy. The whole concept was a maisa nes. Let's not make reference to miraculous phenomenons. Sure, there were many nisim, but it's not our business. We're meant to endeavor to do things properly. That's our job. And therefore, we have to take natural precautions to prevent any spoilage. I heard from Rabbi Boskish Shlita once, why was it warm? Fresh, okay, but why warm? So he says that the warmth denotes the energy, the constant energy flow which flowed from Hashem to Yisrael. We know that just as the menorah was the conduit for the chachma, for the Torah, to Yisrael, the shulchan which contains food and lechem apanim, that was the conduit of the brach of parnasa, which exuded forth from Hashem as a hashpah through the shulchan to Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Yuma tells us that the nachash was given a curse. Va'ofer toichal kol yimei, have dirt your entire life. Now, why is that a klola? He has parnasa wherever he is. Ready sustenance. It's a bracha. So what does the Gemara say? What is a mashal to a king who is supporting his son? So instead of giving him a check once a year, he says, no, come back on a daily basis. I want to have a connection. I want to have a shaychas to you. Come to me. I'll feed you on a daily basis. The nachash was disliked, so to speak. He was sent away. It was a klola. Hashem tells him, go. Have your food wherever you find it. I want to have nothing to do with you. As opposed to us, Hashem wants us to daven. Hashem wants us to be close to Him. We all know the Medrash that the Avos went through difficult times. Why? Hashem misavel tefilasam. Hashem desires a tefillah. He wants His children to be close to Him. Somebody else, we don't have the parnasa wherever we turn. We have to ask, we have to beg, we have to cry. Hashem wants that connection, which is actually good for us. Of course, it's for our good to connect to Hashem, and it's a constant, it's an ongoing relationship with Hashem. Says Rebelsky, that's the point of the warm lechem upon him. It was the energy. It was the energy flow coming through on a constant basis. So this is the fresh, warm lechem upon him, one of the nisim in the Beis Hamikdash. Continues the Gemara, Ba'oin, they asked this following question, Kumei Rabbi Il, fun of Rabbi Il. What about a case like this? Lo yohoyo sham lechem. You meant to exchange the lechem upon him on a weekly basis. Suppose they ran out of lechem. Maula nichal Shabbos haba. Can they leave the lechem sitting there until next week? Omer line, he responded, yep, that's the right way to do it. Ksiv v'nasata lo shulchan lechem panim. The lechem is meant to be on the table constantly. Lechem panim, I feel it possible, even if it's beyond the expiry date, leave it on the table. Continues the Gemara. Asor shulchanoi is asa shloimai. We all know that Moshe Rabbeinu, Metzalel, they took care of the menorah of the shulchan, but the pasuk here will describe how Shlomo HaMelech actually fashioned another 10 shulchanos, another 10 menorahs, and placed it alongside the original. And we're going to begin a whole sugya. Today is only going to be the introduction, which we're going to continue Be'ez Hashem tomorrow, greater detail. The pasuk says, Vayas Asor shulchanos asor Shlomo. The chsiv, Vayas shulchanos asor. Shlomo HaMelech built 10 shulchanos. Vayonach v'heichal, and he placed it in the heichal. Chamisha mimin, chamisha mismoil. 5 shulchanos on the right, 5 on the left. Now, what does right and left mean? We know that the shulchan is meant to be betzafen. It's a shulchan titen, I'll tell it tzafen. So suppose, let's say this is the heichal. Right? So you have, this is the marav, mizrach, we have Dorim and Tzafen. The Shulchan is meant to be on the Dorim, half of the Heichal. Now we have 10 tables here. 5 on the right, 5 on the left. Now 5 right and 5 left means 5 to the right and left of the entranceway, so to speak. 5 in Tzafen and 5 in Dorim. That's not acceptable, because Shulchan is meant to be with Tzafen. Ma tamalai mechamisha bimin, chamisha bimin, chamisha mispa. You can't do that. Sorry, I skipped. Let's go back. In Tamar, Chamisha b'Dorim v'Hei b'Tzafen. If you're going to say that 5 was in Dorim, 5 in Tzafen, that doesn't work. V'aloi eina shulchan kasher el b'Tzafen. Shulchan is strictly meant to be in Tzafen. Shenema b'Asa shulchan titen otzal atzafen. Oh, so ma tamalei mechamisha mimin chamisha mismoim. What do we mean? 5 on the right, 5 on the left. Elo. Of course, they were all on the Tzafen side of the Heichel. Elo chamisha mimin shulchan shel Moshe. 5 on the right of Moshe's Shulchan, 5 on the left. So we take the Heichal, we have a line running, an imaginary line running through the middle. We have the Tzafon. In the Tzafon, we have all the 11 Shulchanis. We have Moshe, so to speak, in the middle, and 5 to the right of his, and 5 to the left of his. But really, they were all on the Tzafon portion of the Heichal. So again, El Chamisha Mimin. Shulchan Shal Moshe, 5 on the right of Moshe Shulchan, Chamisha Mismoil, 5 on the left, and they were all betzafen. Afa became, although there were a total of 11 Shulchanos, Lo Yemisader, Elo B'Shal Moshe Bavad, the actual arrangement of Lechma Panim was only applied to Moshe Rabbeinu's Shulchan Shenemar, Esa Shulchan, Ha! The Shulchan, the known Shulchan, Asher all of Lechma Panim, which indicates that only Moshe Rabbeinu's Shulchan contained Lechma Panim. Rabbi Yossi, Beir Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he says, no, Al Kulon HaYimasadar. It was up to him. He could have placed the Lechem on any one of those 11 tables. Shenemar Es HaShulchan Nois, V'aleyem Lechem HaPanem, which indicates that Lechem HaPanem can be found throughout any one of these 11 Shulchanos. Okay, let's make a brief Chazar of today's daf. We discussed the 13 places where there would be Mishtachve in the Beis HaMikdash. One shita maintained that it corresponds to 13 she'arim. So wherever he entered, he would make a hishtach havaya, an honor of Hashem, an honor of the Samigdash. According to the other shita, that there were no 7 gateways into the Azara, into the Heichal area. The 13 hishtach havayas corresponded to those 13 pirtzos in the Soirig, which were breached by the Yevanim and shored up by the Bnei Chashmonai, and bowing there was an expression of Hoidah and Shevach to Hashem for allowing us to prevail over the Yevanim. We discussed in greater detail 2 Sha'arim. We had the Sha'ar HaMayim and Sha'ar Yechanya. Why Sha'ar HaMayim? According to Tanakama, because through the Sha'ar HaMayim they would deliver the Mayim on Sukkos. According to Elizabeth and Yaakov, that's where the stream would exit the Beis HaMikdash area and went to greater more detailed discussion in the Gemara based on the Lipsukim, where Yecheskel describes this Mayim Chaim coming out of Yerushalayim, making its rounds through the area and cleansing and growing this miraculous crop of fruit, which came out either once in 2 months, once a month, and even leaves growing there would provide healing and remedy. We describe Sha'ar Yechanya in greater detail, how Nebuchadnezzar arrived and they greeted him. They asked him, what's he doing here? And he says, you know what, just give me a yachin. And in fact, he left the Beis HaMikdash on his way out. He passed through the Shar Yechanya. We have the story of the keys sent back to Shemayim. We discussed the 13 Shulchanos, where they were situated, and the 10 extra Shulchanos, which were fashioned by Shlomo HaMelech and placed in the Heichal alongside the Shulchan of Moshe. And of course, this discussion will be elaborated on in greater detail tomorrow, Be'ezus Hashem. Take care, and Hatzlacha Rabbah to you.